shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and places we go that other talk shows can't go to. Yep, we do that, too. We're here, as I mentioned, every night. We're also online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And the reason why I mention that is simply this, folks, that you just don't have the full picture, the full package of any radio show. Any radio show just doesn't have they just don't have their act together unless you have some online presence, which also, of course, enables you to know us a little bit better, and we can get to know you, too. If you register, why, then we can send little people out to your house and put a camera in your bedroom window. I'm kidding, okay?
What are you talking about?
Who are you calling?
I'm probably going to call Mr. Hall.
Put the phone down, you idiot. I'm kidding. Colin Hall.
Well, you said we put a man in a bedroom.
I'm kidding around you. Anyway, folks, at philhendryshow.com, you get a backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of the show as well as listen to a lot of arguing and plate throwing. No, I'm kidding. That's my neighbor. No, you can listen to our archives, thousands and thousands of hours, over 10 years worth of full radio shows at philhendryshow.com. By the way, folks, our episode 9 of our podcast featuring Rudy Canoza and his import-export tobacco business is up and raring to go. Go to philhendryshow.com and hit the podcast banner. And my brothers and sisters, you will enjoy our podcast, episode number 9. Episode 10, obviously, coming up on Thursday. Very interesting state of affairs. I saw this story originally, and I know we got Mr. Bozell on the line. Steve Bozell from Corona, California. He's the father of April. His daughter goes to CK Corona Middle School. We did speak with him last week concerning another issue. Stephen, how are you tonight?
Well.
And this is the Huffington Post had a story, a similar story of some students being suspended for watching gay porn on their cell phones?
I can't comment on that. I don't know the details of that.
What was going on at your daughter's school?
I was given to understand that my daughter's CK Corona is it's a progressive school, and I think we appreciate that. My wife and I, from the standpoint of our daughter learning to be tolerant and to learn how to get along with people, and I've made efforts. My wife has made efforts so that we can work with the school. When April came home with the names of one of the channels, a pay-per-view channel, and on it was an adult films, a series of adult films featuring gay men. It was basically a take-home sheet for the parents on gay sexuality, on gay rights, and it was signed by Erica Dorton, and it directed us to these channels.
Okay, what you were directed to some gay, I'm just going to use the shorthand, gay porn channel.
Yes, sir. I don't like to use that word. I mean, it bespeaks. I'm just trying to do the best way I can to get along with, make sure my daughter is. I don't want to alienate my daughter. I'm trying to work with the school.
Well, what did the school ask of the parents?
Well, the school primarily asked this of myself, and there might have been two or three other parents because I'd made a comment regarding gay marriage, and it was my feeling at the time, and I would say that I probably modified my feeling to a degree, Phil. I want you to know that, and I want your audience to know that, that I thought gay marriage was wrong. I'd said something to my daughter while we were having breakfast that was, I know now, was very insulting and very wrong.
What did you say?
I made the joke about God made Adam and Eve and didn't make no Adam and Steve. And my daughter went to school and talked to Mrs. Dorton about that. She also talked to Mrs. Jessup, and she also spoke to Mr. Williamson, who is works with Erica Dorton in the overall administration of the school. So the three of them contacted me and asked me to come to the school. I went to the school, I went to my daughter's classroom and spoke to the children, and then I was given this sheet.
So I'm clear, and so my audience is clear, because then, you know, we'll talk about these other things.
Well, again, Phil, I want people to know that I'm doing everything that I can to be a far more, I guess, open-minded man. I certainly didn't want to get my daughter in trouble.
No, I understand that. So that everybody is clear, though, you were talking about gay marriage in your daughter's presence.
It was just a conversation over breakfast. There had been something in the news about it.
And you said that God made Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And your daughter went to school and mentioned what you'd said to the teachers.
Yes, sir. It's normal. And so you know.
I mean, that's not unusual, I guess, for a kid to mention something to the teachers. But the fact that the teachers then requested your appearance at the school.
Well, so you know, it's normal in a lot of very progressive. This is a very progressive school. I don't know if you know, if you're familiar with how that works, but you know, this is a very progressive school, and they have constant contact with the parents to make sure that we're not doing anything, obviously, that's going to kind of counter what you know they're doing at the school. I just want to be very clear, and I wanted to come on your show and say right now, Mr. Hendry, if you wouldn't mind, I just want to say that I love my daughter very much, and I don't want to cause any problems.
No, I understand that, Mr. Buzzell. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of the story here, because what happened essentially was that you were asked by the school to watch gay adult films.
I was asked by Ms. Thornton, Mrs. Jessup, and Mr. Williamson, yes, to, after I had talked to the kids, it was determined that I needed, that they wanted me to actually look at these movies.
What when you say you talked to the kids, what happened?
That's when she called me at my office. This was Mrs. Jessup. And said, we'd like you to come to the school. And I went down, and she said, we think you need to talk to the students in your daughter's class. My daughter's in grade 7, which is Mrs. Jessup's class. And that's when the students began to question me about my attitude on gay rights. Because, again, my daughter had told them, I said Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I was... basically told by the students that that was a very bigoted thing to say, that it was stupid, that I made my daughter look bad by saying that, and I apologize, but it was then determined that I had not really understood.
I don't understand any of this myself. You know, you're called to the school, you go before your daughter's class, and you say this is a 7th grade class. These are 12-year-old kids, right? Okay, and...
But 12 and 13.
Okay. And you're in front of your daughter's class, and they're questioning you about your beliefs as to gay rights. Is that it?
Well, they were asking me about gay marriage, though. And then, yeah, it went into gay rights. But you understand, Mr. Ray, it was okay. I took, you know, what they had to say in stride.
Well, I mean, did they call you a bigot?
Well, they said that... These are very intelligent children. One of them, Bradley, who is a friend of my daughter's, and is also one of the, I guess, the classroom homeroom president of the seventh graders, had said to me that I was acting like a bigot and a racist or a homophobe or something, because he said that no one could possibly be that stupid, and he called me stupid, but I.
Well, this is a 12-year-old kid calling you stupid. Your daughter and everybody, so the kids in the class.
Well, again, Mr. Eddie.
No, I know that you want to be, I know you want to be a good guy here, Mr. Bozell. I understand that. But I just want the audience, you're standing there and the kid's calling you stupid. They're calling you a homophobe. They're calling you these things. And that was not the end of it.
But again, you have to understand, my daughter is here, and I know that representatives from the school are listening tonight. They said that they would listen when I did report to my daughter. I reported this to my daughter, and then she reported back to the school that I would be on your show.
You reported this to your daughter. See, this is what I'm worried about, you know.
I don't think you understand. I'll let the school know and let my daughter know, because they were going to want to know that I'm going to be on your show. They're obviously listening right now, so I don't want to say anything that
I want you to speak your mind, Mr. Bozell. I don't want you to hold anything back here, okay?
I'm not. I'm not at all.
Okay.
I did need further education. When they gave me a list of some Spice channels that had gay adult films for me to watch, I asked them, do you want me watching these films for what purpose? And they said, so that you could become fully aware and fully educated as to what gay sex is, what gay marriage would be, and so forth. So
it sounds to me like it's completely inappropriate and far beyond the pale of the far beyond the authority of the school.
They're not telling me that I have to.
No, they're not telling you that you have to, but you just said to me, and you've said it more than once, that you don't want to do anything that is going to affect your relationship with your daughter, relationship with the school.
It's a very good school, Mr. Henry. I think that's something you need to understand, and I think your listeners need to understand. It's a very, very good school, and it took us a long time to get April into this school because they had a waiting list of about 2 years.
And okay, but you're saying, in other words, it's worth it to have your daughter in this school if you are being told by the administration.
Well, they said to me, and you have to understand, I said to my daughter at breakfast, I said, if God wanted Adam and Steve, he wouldn't have made Adam and Eve. So I came right out and said, you know, I don't get any of the gay marriage talk, and I don't get this gay rights thing. So right away, it was distressing to my daughter to have a father that... You know, I mean, you know, I love my daughter very much, and I'm sure it was distressing for her to hear a father so absolutely backward and ignorant.
What about a daughter that hears a father that has his own mind and his own beliefs?
Yes, sir, but, you know, it goes against what Mrs. Dorton has told them.
Who's this again?
I mean, the school, you know, CK Corona.
Okay, so it goes against the school. And you got your daughter in this school for certain things. Do you have your daughter in the school just for academic reasons, or
yeah, for academic and also how it teaches them to be. And
okay, hold on for a minute. I just saw Steve that we're late going into our break. Steve Bozell with us, and his daughter goes to CK Corona Middle School. What do you do when you're a parent and your own personal beliefs are counter to the beliefs of a school that that you think is excellent, is academically outstanding? He was called in front of a class of kids when he expressed disapproval of gay marriage. He's been given gay adult films to watch by the school as a form of re-education for some of the parents there who may be opposed to gay marriage. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
No. I watched the first movie through the whole movie. It was pretty good.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Okay, welcome back here. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. Now, we're talking about this teacher, Erica Dorton, who I had some concerns. We talked about her last week, and I don't know what you got going. You got a television set there, Steve?
Yeah, my daughter, it's actually, she's listening to the radio station that you're on. Honey, can you turn it down? Can you turn? All right, she is listening to us right now.
And the people at the school are listening.
People at the school are listening. I wanted to say, Mr. Henry, because I think I got off on the wrong foot with you. You know, this is about nothing more than me just saying, okay, I believe that gay rights, I used to think gay marriage was bad, and now I know that it's okay. And
what convinced you of that?
I mean, my daughter, you know, I mean, I don't know what you mean by that.
What I mean by that is it seems to me that the process by which you came to the belief that gay marriage is okay is one in which you were called to the school, you were put in front of a bunch of students, it sounds to me like you were browbeat a little bit, you were given gay films to watch at home, and you see what I'm saying?
Well, Mr. Henry, correct me if I'm wrong, I've listened to your show, and you're a proponent of gay marriage, so...
No, I am a proponent of gay rights and gay marriage.
So what why would you find fault?
But the reason why I'm asking you is I don't believe an opinion arrived at the way your opinion may have been arrived at is a good way. You might as well just continue believing what you believed.
But I don't, you know, and...
Well, see, I have questions as to whether that's true or not, because if you say that you came to this conclusion that gay marriage is actually good after you were in front of these kids and you were given this homework, I think what the school is doing, and I think what they... And I have to be honest with you, Steve, I don't think it's right at all,
But they get this a lot, and I was told by Ms. Jessup that they'll, you know, there were some parents a few years ago that got, you know, wanted to, get involved in the curriculum and were really interested. It's a private school, you know, it's really none of their business. You don't want to have your children here, and these parents were insistent, so they got Ms. Dorton involved, and that just sort of ended there. As soon as this Erica Dorton got involved.
This is this Erica Dorton that nobody has talked to?
I have never talked to her, okay?
Have any of the parents talked to her? Any other parents?
I do not know, sir. I've never talked to her. I've talked always to the assistant. Ms. Jessup is my daughter's teacher. Mr. Williamson is the assistant. And then there's Ms. Cockcroft, and there's Ms. Simpson. Or, Stinson, but I've talked to her myself.
Okay, but you see, this is a woman, and you had that tape that we'll play later on. What?
I made a mistake. I made a mistake when I... All right, okay, I'm sorry.
You made a mistake what?
Nothing that I... I just wanted to try to tell you that I believe very much in the school. I made a mistake that when I played the tape.
Sir, you don't sound like yourself. You don't sound good, okay?
I'm sorry. My daughter's here. I'm emotional. I'm emotional, Phil. That's more than anything else I can say. I'm emotional, okay? When I played the tape of Mrs. Dorton, I made a mistake. I made a mistake, and I don't understand why
you sound like there is something wrong.
There's nothing wrong, sir. No, there's nothing wrong. I'm simply talking to my daughter. I'm looking at it emotionally how this has affected me.
So when you played this tape of Erica Dorton that I heard and that our some of the audience heard last week, this is the headmistress of this school. It sounded very harassing.
I made a mistake when I played it. You know,
say what did you say?
I said, when I played the tape of Erica Dorton, I made a mistake. I made a mistake.
I got to tell you, you don't sound good, okay?
Well, how would you sound if you'd been, you know, I don't want to make a joke, but how would you sound if you've been watching gay porn for, you know, 16 hours? You know, how do you think you'd sound?
I don't know how I'd... What do you mean? What does that got to do with anything? What I'm telling you is there's a sound to your voice. I don't know what it is. You sound like you're in distress.
And I'm saying, how would you sound if you'd been watching for 16 solid hours looking at two men? And it's nothing that I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. And because I wanted to make sure, and I rewound the tape, and here's a part that I think is the most unfair of all. My wife walked into the room just as I was rewinding, and she looked at me and she said, you know, you're actually winding the tape back to get a better look. And I said, no, I said, I rewound the tape because I missed something. The school wants me to look at this. And my wife didn't buy it. She said, you're rewinding the tape and going back and checking it, you know, looking at it and everything. And I said, no, I'm not.
Okay, I don't understand any of this, and I don't care. I'm just saying you sound like you're in distress. You're talking about this. You played a tape of Erica Dorton, this headmistress, last week.
Yes, sir, and I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
What is wrong with you? There's something wrong with you.
My daughter is here. You know, I love my daughter very much.
I know you love your daughter very much. All right, we have to take a break. Hold on for a minute, okay, Steve?
Yes, sir. I want it to be clear that the school is a good school for my daughter.
Okay, hold the line. 877-876-PHIL. Are you hearing the way he's saying that?
Yeah, to me, it sounds like he's going, man, man, man. He can't say it good.
No, he can't say it good. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show. I'm sure he was rewinding the tape just as his wife walked in. We'll be right back with more here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, I'm in the room. That's right. Hey, the main room. I can't say it good.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up next hour, we're going to have Reverend Dave Castorini from the Youth Ministry in Phoenix, Arizona. And he'll be on to, he's going to be talking to us about a number of things having to do with young people, today's society, and so forth. What was was that one story about John the Baptist, Bud?
Yeah, about finding his bones.
All right, we're going to find out from Reverend Dave Castorini starting at... the beginning of our next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. They think they found John the Baptist's bones in some church. I have no idea. Stephen Bozell has joined us here from Corona, California. We're going to take some phone calls, too, at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And essentially we're talking about the school that his daughter goes to where, you know, they called you before a classroom of kids as well as the administration to... re-educate yourself, it sounds like, Steve, to gay rights.
I think that it's something that can be done, and I'm glad you put it that way, Phil, because I think that we can educate or re-educate ourselves and do that, I suppose, in a way that hold on for a minute. Do that in a way. No, don't. Please don't call him yet. Don't call him yet.
Whoa. Hold on, Steve. What's going on?
My daughter wanted to call the school to say that I had mentioned that I made a mean mistake playing the Erica Dorton tape, but she says I didn't do it good enough. Honey, I did apologize.
Let me ask you a question. Are you having to sit there and justify yourself to your daughter?
I'm simply saying to my daughter, you don't need to call Mrs. Dorton right now because I did say that I made a mistake. But I...
Every time you say make, and I'm noticing it now, Steve, okay?
No, I know.
Every time you say I made a mistake, you sound as if you're having some kind of a blood pressure issue or something.
No. I know what it is because I know what it is. It's a suggestion that was put into my mind by Erica Dorton.
It's a suggestion that was put into your mind. All right.
I know it sounds, if Mr. Henry, if you could just for a moment just open your mind to the possibilities. I know it sounds wrong, but I'm saying that. This is a school that has taught my daughter to be a good person, and in by extension, they're trying to teach the parents how to be good people, because so much of what happens in schools today, our children are learning a good way, and they are learning to be better people. And I think in a lot of ways, since President Obama became president, the schools have become influenced by a good way of being and a good president and opening the minds of children, and that the parents have not allowed themselves to be similarly influenced. And so that when my daughter came home and she told me the school wanted to see me because of my views on gay marriage, and I went and I was allowed to be, allowed to be retaught, if you will. I think I can be a better man. I just don't want to, you know, I should have made a mistake. Made a mistake, and I know it sounds like I'm having a problem. I just, when I admit that I made a mistake, by playing Mrs. Dorton's tape on the air. I really sincerely mean it.
And it sounds to me like there's some fear.
In what way?
You have fear. You're afraid of Mrs. Dorton. Is that?
No, sir. I'm not afraid of her. I'm trying to just find the right words because I know that my daughter has got one cell phone in one hand, the radio in the other. She's got Mrs. Dorton is on touch dial, on speed dial. So if I say anything that.
That's what I mean. You're afraid. I'm going to go to a phone call here.
I don't want the impression I'm afraid. No, sir, I'm not.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me, because your daughter's got the phone. She's got Mrs. Dorton is on speed dial, so the minute you say something wrong, she's going to speed dial her.
Well, no. The only concern was that I played that tape of Mrs. Dorton last.
You played a tape of that woman calling your house last week on our show, and it was very disturbing, and I'm glad that you did.
My daughter is having a problem with some of your opinions too. I mean, this is how the game is played now, Mr. Henry. This is how education of our young people today. This is how our young people learn. That really the best way to go about life. Now, you can say anything you want, but I just want you to know my daughter's speed dialing Dorton again.
What's she speed dialing Dorton for?
What are you speed dialing Dorton for, honey? Because of what you said.
Well, what do I care? I don't care. Let her speed dial Dorton for what I said. I could care less. But I think it's a terrible, terrible thing to do to you as a parent and a terrible thing to hang over your head that the minute you say something bad or what have you, this, that, something else, that you're going to be, called on the carpet by Erica Dorton. Let's go to Bobby on the Phil Henry Show. She's in Western Estates. Bobby, good to talk with you. And she's with her husband, Steve. I know you're a president of a PTO.
Well, yes, Phil. We've been with the Western States PTO for a long time. How are you, Mr. Bozell?
I'm sorry?
How are you, Mr. Bozell? This is Bobby Dilley.
Yes, ma'am. I'm fine. Thank you.
Steve, it sounds to me... excuse me. It sounds to me as if you're dealing with... In our PTO, we really have to hold the line sometimes against some of these teachers and administrators... excuse me. I have to get some water. Would you excuse me, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead.
That lady's name is what?
Her name is Bobby Dooley. Okay, Bobby?
Yes, no, I'm back. I'm sorry. We have to hold the line against a lot of administrators and teachers who are inappropriately exercising influence.
This is the problem that I've got. And what you're saying now is my daughter just hit the speed dial again.
Well, I'm talking to the father.
I know you're talking to the father, but my daughter is speed dialing. Why are you doing that? I'm sorry.
I don't care why she's doing it.
I do. Why is she doing it?
She said because a member of the PTO, she needs to talk with Mrs. Jessup. Only because they want to know how they're being portrayed, Mr. Henry. You can understand that the school has gotten some bad publicity.
Well, the school may have bad publicity, and they're going to get worse publicity if we don't allow a free exchange of ideas and thoughts on this topic, which is essentially, in my opinion, it's the controlling of the thinking of parents, not just kids, but you're being sent home to watch gay adult films?
That was in order so I would understand how it works. And
see, that's very disturbing to me, Mr. Henry, the fact that this man is being told, well, to educate himself as to gay rights, that he needs to. Are you alone in the room?
Yes, ma'am.
And you're told to sit alone. Let me ask you something, because we came up against this once before, Mr. Henry, with another school. Are you supposed to be sitting in a wooden straight-back chair?
Yes, ma'am. As a matter of fact, I am.
And with your knees together?
Yes, ma'am.
What the hell? How do you know about this?
We encountered this, Phil, with another school. The fathers are supposed to sit directly in front of a TV that is showing some kind of gay erotica. They're to sit in a wooden straight-back chair with their knees together, holding the remote in their right hand, and their left hand resting comfortably on their leg. They are not to move or change that position. My understanding is through at least three or four different presentations of gay erotica. My husband, Steve, was privy to this with one of these magnet schools here in our area.
I just think that somebody ought to call. If it's not a public school.
Well, no, it's a private school. And that's what really bothered me. Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, can you hear that, Phil? I don't know if you can hear that, Steve.
Hi, Mr. Henry.
Is that you, Mr. Dooley?
Yes, it is.
See, now you can hear there's been a slight... There is what the doctor called a flagging in the voice. Flagging, meaning slowing and a loosening.
Mr. Dooley.
Did you say Mr. Bozell?
No, Mr. Dooley. Talk to me for a minute, sir.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Just 1, 2, 3, 4?
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, can you hear the looseness?
I hear what is a stereotypical sounding effeminate voice.
That's exactly right.
I noticed the tube, Terry. I thought, watch it.
Well, how did this happen?
I told you that Steve had... It isn't the fact that you're looking at gay erotica. It's sitting in a straight-back chair, holding the remote in the right hand, the hand on the left leg, knees together. There's something about that posture.
And also, I had to sit in very shorts.
That's right. I forgot, Phil. No, just shorts, no shirt.
I don't understand that at all. And as a result of that, Mr. Dooley sounds very uncharacteristic. Now you're telling that Mr. Bozell has to go through this. And the entire thing, to me, sounds asinine. It almost now starts to sound ridiculous, like it isn't true.
In a lot of ways, Mr. Henry, I would maybe a different day, a different time, a different man, if this was a different situation, maybe you and I would, maybe you and I'd be boyfriend and everything, but we're not. I mean...
No, we're not. What do you mean a different situation?
What I'm saying is I might have been opposed to everything about gay, but because of the re-education, because I was called on the carpet, because I went home with the gay erotica...
And how many hours did they tell you to watch? Phil, I'm very familiar with this.
Yeah, my wife has been up on this, Phil, for a long time.
Well, I think this is the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. You watch gay erotica for how many hours?
I watched how long?
I think he was probably in front of it for, I don't know, about 20 hours.
Yeah, 20 hours.
20? So what? So what, man? I could do that. I'm not going to sit there and start sounding like you.
You can sit there and start sounding like me.
Well, whatever it is.
I don't want to. Please, God, don't let that happen to me.
It's not going to happen to you, Mr. Bozell, because you're not going to do this. You're going to tell this Dorton, I'd like to talk to her on the air, okay?
Right now. My daughter's shaking her head violently, back in no way, never, no way.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Well, you tell Mrs. Dorton, and we're going to come back after this break. I want to talk to her on the air.
I would like for you to do that, Mr. Henry. This is Steve Dooley. I think that some questions need to be answered.
Well, I do too, Phil. And as a PTO president, we will stop at nothing to make sure that our kids are protected. And we certainly want the best education. But if you think I'm comfortable listening to my husband, and I love him, and I don't think it has anything to do with his sexuality.
Well, have you, Mr. Dooley, do you feel yourself attracted to men?
No, I want to, it's fun to talk this way now.
See what I mean? So, I think...
Hold on for a minute, I got to take a break.
Still, if you cut me off now, I sound like a total ass, like these other...
877-87... I'm sorry, Ms. Dooley, but I got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. And I'm about this far away from thinking this whole thing is a load. Hi! We're educating our parents, and meanwhile, this guy, Mr. Bozell, please don't tell Mrs. Dorton... Get that Dorton on the phone.
I'm afraid to.
Get her on the phone or I'll call her. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Got Reverend Dave Castorini coming up next hour, the youth minister. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can watch your live streaming video of our show right now, Phil TV in HD. You can also listen to our archived material going back over a decade. And we also have our podcast, daily podcasts of this show, available at philhenryshow.com, as well as our video archives. On the line with me here is Stephen Bozell. We have Bobby and Steve Dooley talking. Bobby, you wanted to do something here or try something here with Steve, right?
Well, I do. Stephen, this is Bobby. I want to ask you, just sort of maybe talk you through this a little bit, okay? Okay, Steve?
Well, yeah, but my daughter is standing right here.
No, I know she's standing right there. Let me just say this to you. My husband's name is Steve, and he went through the magnet school training. And you can hear what happened to him.
Please don't let that happen to me.
No, I'm not going to let that happen to you. But you're not gay. I'm talking to my husband, Steve. You're not gay, are you?
No, I'm not gay. At all. It just fits the voice.
So it's just your voice?
Yes.
So is that so bad?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. I'm just wondering if that's so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, I don't want to go around sounding like that.
Well, see, but here's the thing. My husband is going to be fine. It wears off after a few days.
What do you mean it wears off after a few days? I don't understand how do you...
Phil, excuse me, Phil, but I'm talking to Mr. Bozell. And these are things you just have to listen, Phil. I can't really articulate them so much as if you can listen and absorb them. It wears off after a few days. But you are afraid of... talking like this, you see, and what I'm saying is if you would just simply watch this gay erotica and absorb the voice.
But if I absorb the voice, am I going to absorb?
He's afraid. I don't see how it could not be damaging.
Well, it's not. My husband, Steve, you're not gay.
No, I'm not gay.
It's disquieting. I hate listening to him. He sounds... like an idiot. I want to slap him, you know.
And you have, too.
I've slapped him, and it doesn't do any good.
Slap me in the face.
Hey, okay? I'm going to slap my husband in the face, Phil.
Nope, no effect.
I just slapped my husband across the face 5 times. So, Stephen, what I'm saying is, if you can just absorb it.
I don't want to absorb it because I don't want to talk like that.
Are you trying to tell me that if this man watches 20 hours of gay erotica or whatever the hell it is you're talking about, that he is going to absorb some kind of a stereotypically effeminate voice?
Well, he won't be gay.
But he won't be gay. I guess we'll have to check back in with you tomorrow night, Mr. Bozell.
I guess I have to do it.
Well, you know, you don't have to do it.
But yes, he does.
No, he does not. What? You know, I don't understand what side you're on in this thing, okay? But you got a middle school that's got a control over its students and its parents that is unhealthy and is wrong. And I personally am saying publicly, you ought to pull your daughter out of that school. You ought to report this teacher. Because, by the way, we have a recording. I called that Mrs. Dorton up.
Oh, no. God, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did, okay? I called her up, and I, this is what I got. Have you got the recording, bud?
No, Mr. Henry, can I, hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry.
What?
I made a mistake when I played that.
Well, I'm not going to make a mistake.
Don't mock my, you can't mock it. You can't mock what's been inserted.
He's been, Phil, what's happened is, Erica Dorton has projected and inserted into his mind a certain directive.
I don't care what she's inserted or put into his mind.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, I know you think you made a mistake. Here, by the way, folks, is Erica Dorton. When we called and asked to speak to her, this is what we got. And I can tell you that it was not, it certainly isn't putting me off, and it's not causing us to be, the only way I can put this, folks, is it is not causing us to be taken off the scent of this story. You got it, bud?
Yeah, mine too.
Recorded 10:45, 39.
Wow.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, did you blow it there. Man, you blew it so big. My daughter looked...
I don't know, no, I didn't blow anything. That's what I got, okay?
She sounds like some sort of a circus freak.
She's a weird ass. And that's what's been scaring Mr. Bozell here. And that's what's got a whole bunch of teachers. You hear her breathing into the phone?
Did she do? Is that how she's communicated with you, Mr. Bozell?
Yeah, she called up. I made a mistake. I played it last week.
Well, I didn't make any mistake, and I played it right now.
My daughter's... Okay, she's speed dialing Jessup.
No, well, that's fine. She can speed dial Jessup all she wants. But that's what I'm talking about. And if we're dealing with a bunch of people that are, you know, doing these things to parents, I don't know what you would...
Hold on for a minute. What? Okay, that Dorton has spoken. Dorton has spoken. That is the signal. And I guess she's not too happy. Okay, Dorton has spoken.
Oh, has Dorton spoken?
Well, yeah, you heard the harp. Where have you been?
Get out of here with the harp. I want to follow this story, bud. Stay in touch with Mr. Bozell. This Dorton spoken.
Yeah, I will.
And I also want to talk to Bobby Dooley when we come... Will you turn that harp off, okay?
Dorton spoken.
I don't care if Dorton has spoken. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. That means tomorrow morning is trash, bud, so...
You want me to take it out now?
Not now, but, you know, trash day around the studio here is Wednesday. Anyway, we're still into Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. And we thank you for joining us. We're online at philhendryshow.com as well. We have over 120 affiliates nationally. We have our archives. We have a great website. We also have our podcast. We'd love you to download the podcast. Download all 9, baby. Episode 10 coming up on Thursday. So essentially twice a week we have the free Phil Hendry podcast. So make yourselves welcome to downloading our podcast as well. Reverend Dave Castorini joining us from the youth ministry in Phoenix, Arizona this evening, and an interesting story that I brought to the Reverend's attention, and he agreed to come on the line with us here this evening to talk about this. I think it's fascinating. Anyway, Reverend Castorini, how are you tonight?
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good. Pretty exciting, huh?
I think any time that we have... news of this kind, of this portent, I think it's always exciting. I think that, you know, we live in the here and the now. I need to know that Jesus Christ is real, and he is real in my life, and he's real in the life of members of our church, Phil. John the Baptist.
Well, let me tell people, okay?
You go ahead, and then we'll follow up.
Right. Here's the story, folks. A small handful of bones is the quote, found in an ancient church in Bulgaria, may belong to John the Baptist, the biblical figure said to have baptized Jesus. There's no way to be sure, of course, as there are no confirmed pieces of John the Baptist to compare to the fragments of bone. But the sarcophagus holding the bones, which is a sarcophagus is like a, you know, a tomb, holding the bones was found near a second box bearing the name of St. John and his feast date, also called a holy day, of June 24th. Now new radiocarbon dating of the collagen in one of the bones, that is a substance that's a part of bone matter in humans. That's not just something that women put in their lips.
That's right. I think a lot of people think that too, Phil. That was the first thing I thought. Well, how about that? That's
something that's actually in the human body.
Yeah, that's something that's actually in the human body, exactly.
All right, well, this is a... this collagen that was found and the radiocarbon dating that was done on it pegs the age of these bones to early first century, okay? That would be consistent with the New Testament and Jewish histories of John the Baptist's life. According to Thomas Higgum of the University of Oxford, we've got dates that are very interesting, meaning the radiocarbon dating of these bones, suggesting that the human bone is all from the same person. It's a male. It has a very high likelihood of an origin in the near Middle East where John the Baptist would have lived. Now, the bones were found in 2010 by Bulgarian archaeologists while excavating an old church site on the island of Sveti Ivan, which translates to St. John. So this is an island that was named after St. John the Baptist. The church was constructed in two periods, in the 5th and in the 6th century. Beneath the altar, the archaeologists found a small marble sarcophagus about 6 inches long. Inside were 6 human bones and 3 animal bones. The next day, the researchers found a second box just 20 inches away. This one was made of volcanic rock called tuff. On it, an inscription read, "Dear Lord, please help your servant Thomas," along with St. John the Baptist's name and his official feast day. Findings paint a story of a man named Thomas charged with bringing relics or body parts. That's what the Catholic Church uses to consecrate an altar, for instance. They have to have the relic of a saint. And so that's what these relics are. They're parts of the bodies, generally bones of saints. And so this man, Thomas, apparently had the duty of bringing these relics or body parts of St. John to the island to consecrate a new church there. It was common in the 4th and 5th century for wealthy patrons to pay for new churches and give saintly relics to the monks who staffed them. So, David, I know a lot of this stuff is pre-Protestant. It's Catholic in nature. What is the significance of the bones of John the Baptist?
Well, I think, you know, if indeed that's what has been found here, I think it's an interesting historical find. I think that for archaeologists, as you've been reading there, Phil, and for historians, it is evidence. I think if they are ever able to prove this is John the Baptist, I don't know that they would ever be able to do that. I think we run the risk, though, of getting sidetracked by some of these personalities from the Bible. I am as you said, Phil, I'm a non-Catholic. I'm of the Protestant sect or segment of the Christian faith, and that is Assemblies of God is my, and I was Pentecostal for a while. I was Disciples of Christ. I was a lot of different things. As I've sort of mixed and matched, no one can really pin me down because I don't want to be pinned down. The only thing I want to be pinned to are the teachings of Jesus. And then after Jesus comes those of us that carry the word. And I don't mean that to say that John the Baptist wasn't important. John the Baptist was important. We teach, Phil, and I know you were raised Catholic, that there's only one God.
Yeah, I know. And some Protestants think that the Catholics paying homage to saints is worshiping gods.
Well, I think there's something to that.
No, it's not, but go ahead, tell me your theory.
Well, because I know you may not think so, but don't you pray to saints?
Well, you don't pray to a saint the way you pray to God. You pray for intercession. You ask a saint to help, you know.
Well, but you're saying that you are having to go through someone to get to God.
It's like if there's a special thing that you need, if there is a special, if someone's dying, if someone has a bad illness, if there's some real help you need in having a prayer come true, as Catholics we will acknowledge a certain saint as being a good saint to pray to. But that's not worship. It's asking for the assistance of that saint.
Well, do you pray like that?
No, I mean I don't really. There's the rosary, you know.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. When you do the rosary, are you not worshiping Mary? And
No, not really. I mean, it's just not the same thing, you know.
Well, Phil, I already know the answers to these questions. I'm not trying to trick you or anything. There's an old saying, a good lawyer never asks a question that he don't know the answer to. And I think the same thing is true of those of us who are charged with the spiritual life of people. Now, I know that you don't think you're worshiping a saint, but that's what you're doing when you're asking for them to help you talk to God. I think that when we...
Well, I'm just telling you, that's not how I feel.
No, I understand that. But I think that when we talk about John the Baptist, we're going to run the same. We're going to go down that same thorny path. We run the same risk. My faith, to me, Phil, my faith to me is if I'm carrying I'm carrying it down a road. It's an infant child that I'm carrying down a road. And if I were to pray to a saint, I'm taking that child and crushing it with a rock. I know what you're going to say.
Crushing it with a rock.
Yes, I know what you're going to say, that's a very extreme example.
Yes, very much so.
But it's not, and you wouldn't do it on purpose.
So what does all of this have to do with John the Baptist?
Well, what it has to do with John the Baptist, I think, is more to the point, and that is this. John the Baptist, his bones might have been found. Maybe they were found. Maybe they weren't found. I don't know. And I don't really care, because all that matters to me is Jesus. And I think this needs to be said, there's a lot of us that have done a great deal of work trying to bring souls to God. I'm one of those people. Pastor Raffelli is another one of those people. Pastor Rennick, who I hear on your program, he's another one of those people. Men like the Graham family, Billy Graham and his son, we've brought souls to people. And I don't think, Phil, in 200, 300 years, anyone's going to find David Castorini's bones and say, oh, we have to put these in a jar and worship them or something like that.
Well, nobody's saying worship these bones. These are relics that go into altars.
No, I understand that. But do you see how we're focusing on John the Baptist? And with all the focus that goes on John the Baptist, there's a little bit more taken away, I think, from people such as myself or Billy Graham or, you know, and it goes to John the Baptist. And
there's focus taken away from you. I don't even think of you in the same context, but don't you think John the Baptist deserves some focus?
No, I do not think he deserves more focus than, and I'm just saying, as an example, me, or, you know, Otto Brown is another new age preacher. Winston Jarvis is another. Samuelson Jacoby is another. These are all great new age modern Christian preachers that I hope someday will be thought of the same way as John the Baptist, and we can, you know, stop going on and salivating every time we hear about somebody finding some bones in a box that might just as well be chicken bones. We have no idea yet even if they're human bones. We have no idea.
Yes, they do. They've did all kinds of tests on it.
Well, they've done tests that say if they're human bones, that's what these would be. But they could be beef. Seriously, Phil, they could be rib bones. They could be chicken bones.
Don't you think these scientists know the difference between a chicken bone and a beef bone?
Yes, of course they do, but they have not determined. They've just taken the collagen and they've said, well, if it's human, then it's a 20-year-old man who's 6'2". But it still could very well be a chicken bone.
I don't know that's how they do that. I honestly don't. Let's take a break here. Reverend Jim Castorini, David Castorini is with us, excuse me, on the Phil Henry Show as we talk about the discovery of John the Baptist, the possibility of the discovery of relics that might have been John the Baptist. Reverend Castorini uncharacteristically talking about these things as not as significant as believing in Jesus, and then he himself and other preachers oftentimes have a lot of the thunder stolen from them when we talk about John the Baptist or other personalities from the Bible. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back here with Reverend Castorini and your phone calls.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David Castorini on the line with us as we talk about, really what we're discussing here are saints and other personalities from the Bible that you say increasingly should not be as important, of course, as Jesus. And I agree with that. I mean, I understand that, you know.
Phil, you're not a man of the cloth. You're not called to the vocation of teaching the gospel, but you can understand that what I do and what others do, those of us who are called to the teaching of the gospel, It's very special. And we work very hard to bring souls to God and to Jesus Christ. And we have we've risked an awful lot. Some of us have risked our own personal health. Some of us have risked our own security, our families, everything, to bring to Jesus Christ and to God new souls in this battle against the devil. And when I hear a news story about John the Baptist's bones and these kinds of very sensational stories, I get, I think understandably, I get down a little bit. I get angry a little bit. I get put off a little bit. I'm, you know, it disturbs me, and I want truth, and I want the sense, I want good common sense. It's like the, I just saw a story today, Phil, about the.
But before you go on.
Go ahead.
You know, yeah, okay, I get it. But what I'm saying to you is, John the Baptist is a very hallowed and respected. The name is very hallowed. He's a respected and loved and honored name in the Bible. You're not saying, you know, well, John the Baptist get in line behind Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and David Castorini.
No, I wouldn't put it that way. No, Phil.
Well, but it's kind of what you're saying. In other words, there's more attention should be paid to the modern day preacher than the John the Baptists.
I think that's a fair way of saying it, yes.
Okay, so, okay, all right.
I think that's a fair way of saying it, because John the Baptist was not God. You understand? He was not God. And neither was Mary, virgin. She was a virgin, and I will give her that in terms of her how beloved of God she was. She had a virgin birth, and she didn't, but John the Baptist, or I should say Jesus Christ, was born a virgin birth. Okay. Mary herself was, I think, also born of a virgin, if I'm not mistaken.
Where do you get that?
Well, the Immaculate Conception, I think.
Oh, okay. I don't know the story of Mary, so I...
I can tell you I do, and she was born... her mother was a virgin too, so there was a line of virgins, and then it ended with Jesus. But what I'm saying is, John the Baptist, John the Baptist, John the Baptist, till the cows come home. But David Castorini is, you know, David Castorini presses forward. John the Baptist, John the Baptist, John the Baptist, bring me the head of John the Baptist. You know, they had his head on a platter. Which I think is John the Baptist, isn't it?
And I believe so. Yeah. I mean, you're the Bible expert.
Well, I'm a Bible expert, but I'm not an expert on the sensational aspects of the Bible. I don't. They put his head on a platter. That doesn't gun my engine, to use a phrase. But so where is David? But I saw a story today. This is what I wanted to say. They think in Italy. In Italy, Phil, they think that the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine causes autism. They just awarded money in a court case. This is in Italy. So you see how people can be so wrong that you are letting the blind lead people with eyes. It's not the blind leading the blind. We've got Italians now telling us about autism.
What has that got to do with John the Baptist?
Well, what I'm saying is this. You want the blind leading the eyes. You see what I mean?
No, I don't want the blind leading people with vision.
No, yeah. Do you want that?
No, I don't.
Well, then why are we allowing everyone telling you and me about John the Baptist being all this, and as the saying goes, all that in a bag of pork rinds, and we're letting Italians tell us about autism?
Well, the court case in Italy has to do with, it was a judge ruling that the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine did, in fact, cause the autism of a boy. How is that the Italians telling, what has that got to do with John the Baptist?
I'm saying this is the extent of how dumb people can be. And if we allow the John the Baptist obsession, are these bones John the Baptist? Are they not? Are they chicken bones? Are they rib bones? And if they're rib bones, is it a St. Louis rib? Is it a short rib? Is it a baby back? Stupid questions that can take up all kinds of time. And no one's talking about David Castorini. how he's going out and getting souls for God. No one's talking about Preacher X, Preacher Y, Preacher Z. You see?
Well, I can understand what you're saying if what you're telling me is that the personalities involved become almost like superstars.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Phil.
Okay, I understand that. But I think John the Baptist, having first of all known Jesus, having been the man that baptized him, having been a present at the baptism of this man who is the, you know, this the Son of God. He's the honored figure in the Christian faith, makes him a very significant person. Mary being the mother of Jesus, don't you think that makes her a cut above David Castorini or Oral Roberts
Well, no, I don't, Phil. I think if anything, because of the humility of being the mother, and again, Mary was very humble. Let's not rob her of her humility, because if Mary were here right now, she'd say that David Castorini and Billy Graham and Pope Benedict are all more important than me. That's how humble she was.
But in fact, what are you more important than her?
I think, in fact, we are. I know she's the mother of God. There's no question about that. If you want to believe it was a virgin birth, go ahead. I just want to believe she was the mother of God.
Well, the virgin birth is essential to the Christian faith.
No. No, it's not.
Yes, it is. The virgin birth is essential to the Christian faith.
No, you're wrong there, Phil. Yes, Jesus is God. But whether or not Mary had a husband, a boyfriend, it doesn't make no, never mind.
At the angel, it's part of the Bible story. All right, well, hold on. 877-876-PHIL.
No.
Hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I think you're wrong there.
Phil Hendry.
No, I don't have to be careful of anything. I could talk the way I want to talk when we're talking about... Can we get that, you know... Who is that?
It's Pastor Rennick.
Oh, Pastor William Rennick is on the line. We have David Castorini with us. And Pastor Rennick, how are you?
Phil, I had to call in because of Reverend Castorini was saying. Reverend Castorini, how are you, sir?
Pastor Rennick, I'm doing very well, sir. It's a great honor to speak with you.
I appreciate that, but I will tell you something. I'm listening to you on the radio tonight on Phil Hendry Show. I had to call in.
Of course. And I guess you disagree.
Hold on for a minute. Yeah, I disagree, but I've got a lot of ways I want to disagree with you. First of all, when you talk about John the Baptist being not a great man, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ called John the Baptist the greatest of all men, the greatest born of a woman.
Well, he said that he was the greatest born of a woman, yeah. But that was during his particular time. And
that's not during his particular time. That was Jesus Christ talking. That was the Son of God talking about John the Baptist, the greatest of all men, you know, born of a woman. That would include you. That would include me, you know. But what I was going to say, Phil, Reverend, with all great respect to you, if ever there was a pecking order of who in this world should be considered, ahead of John the Baptist, I had to say, I don't mean anything by this, but you would not be on that list.
And why is that?
Well, I've heard some of the things you have preached about sex. And
you know that we have an enlightened view of sex.
And enlightened view of sex, Bill, this man believes, and he has sent young people from his church, that any way you can bring a soul to God is a good way.
And I still do believe that.
In other words, you think sending a young lady out as a disciple from your church to give a man oral sex...
What?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Pastor, that is slanderous.
Slanderous? I heard you on the Phil Hendry Show one night saying that you send out young ladies to give oral sex to get a man in your church.
I did not say I send out young ladies. What I did say was we send out our youth ministers and our youth prayer counselors, and they go and they talk to people. They are attractive young people. They're very worldly. They're very earthy people, yes. Do they have sex with people that they are ministering to and prayer counseling? If they feel that that gets them further down the line with where they want to go, which is essentially to make that person a convert.
Wait. Right, so in other words, you...
That's what I'm talking about. See, right there. Well, that's different, Pastor, from what you were saying. You were saying that I send young ladies out to give oral sex to men. That's not true. We send men and women, and their purpose is not to give any kind of sex at all.
Unless it just happens to go in that direction.
Yeah, right. Unless they go in that direction. That's exactly right. Now, let me say something. I believe that if anybody was going to be higher in a pecking order, you have Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Jesus Christ the Son of God. And anybody that's higher on that pecking order than John the Baptist, you know, instead of you, be me. You know, I think I'm higher up the ladder. You think you're higher up the... Oh, boy, that... I don't know where you get that. That's why... between you and me? Come on! Between you and me, I could take a poll right now of all the people who are Christian listening to the audience right now, and they would pick me over you. I don't think so, but I'm not willing to be engaged in some kind of personality contest like that. I'm simply saying to you...
But wait, hold on for just a minute. I got to interrupt this.
I'm saying to you that I'm higher on a pecking order. I am.
Hold on for a minute. That's ridiculous, the two of you guys arguing who's higher in the pecking order over John the Baptist, you or the other guy. Listen, here's my question. Pastor Castorini, what is this I'm hearing about prayer counselors? They're good-looking, they're earthy, and if sex ensues, that's okay?
I think I had a little bit more of an elegant way of putting it than, Pastor Rennick. Did I not say it the way it goes? No, you did not say it the way it goes. We don't send young ladies out to give oral sex to men. We have our prayer counselors, our church ministers, our level one, level two, level three prayer ministry, as well as our gift donations and the gift grab bag. All of that. What does that mean, gift grab bag? What is that? You just said a whole lot of stuff. I've got a church and I raise money. I've never heard of that. And I'm sorry. Pastor, if you listen, let me finish.
Are these different ways of raising money?
Yes, but it's not just raising money. It's also ways of bringing people to the path. The gift grab bag, $5, $10, $15 donations. But donations don't make you beloved of God. We have our prayer ministry, prayer council, prayer line. We have the oil cloth, which is the holy oil. But what is the oil cloth? I don't understand. That's where we, the holy oil is the oil that I bless, that you can use as a way of anointing yourself. Dad, will you, because I know I used to do all kinds, I ran all kinds of games. It's not me running a game.
Wait, hold on, because, you know, I'm not completely a novice here. I was raised in a religious home. It wasn't a completely, we weren't like, you know, Bible bangers, if you'll pardon the expression, but what is an oil cloth?
Yeah, I'd like to know that. I never heard of anything like that. Okay?
Well, you know what, Pastor Rennick, before you go off, you got that flaming Jesus thing that you did at Christmas time.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's a disgrace. What are you talking about? It was a slingshot. You know, we fired out in the crowd. And
all right, I don't want to hear anything about it. What I'm asking, Pastor Castorini, what is the oil cloth?
This is just a holy oil that I bless, and I soak it in a cloth, and we send that to people. It's free. Okay.
Well, what do you mean you bless it? See, that's what I'm saying. You know, you were telling me about worshiping saints. Now you got people who want to buy a cloth that's blessed by you. What does that make you?
Phil, I didn't say, that I was not beloved of God. I said that, how about giving me a little bit of love instead of John the Baptist? Okay, and I would agree with you. I've been giving Pastor Rennick a little bit of love, but I think John the Baptist enjoyed all praise. John the Baptist enjoyed all praise. John the Baptist had his head put on a plate, man. You understand? There was a woman said, bring me John the Baptist's head on a platter. She wanted it on a platter like, I know this
know the story. You don't know the story the way I know the story. This woman wanted John the Baptist's head. And she came, and they came, and they cut off John the Baptist's head, and they stuck that on a platter. And they had one of those lids. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
And, you know, and so there's a man's head on a plate. And they had, Phil, a garnish?
Garnish?
Yeah, they had a garnishing around it. And
well, I don't know if they had garnishing.
What do you mean, garnishing like it was a meal?
Well, if you put it on a plate and you put it on a serving tray and you've got a lid you lift up and there's the head, don't you think there'd be some kind of garnishing or carrots or something? Are you telling me that?
Wait, hold on. Are you saying they served it with steamed carrots? It's not a meal, man. This is something the woman wanted. She, whoever the hell she was, you two guys are the Bible guys. Who was she?
I don't know, Phil. I don't know. I forget.
Oh, that's great. So I got two guys on the line here who are pastors.
Phil, it's not important. That's what I mean about the...
it is important, but I don't... She ain't important. She's not important.
Hold on. Why don't you guys know these names? Why don't you know these names?
I don't... I forgot.
You forgot? You guys are preachers and you forgot? All right, 877-87. Pastor Renick, thank you very much.
Wait a minute.
Okay, 877-876 Phil is our number. We have on the line here David Castorini of the youth ministry in Phoenix, Arizona. And David, you know, I will agree with you 100% on just about everything that you're saying, but your lack of knowledge of what's in the Bible, the idea that you want to put yourself above John, I agree that personalities are probably too big. They loom large. Maybe people worship them. Maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe the only important story is Jesus' story. I agree, and it is the only important story. But for you to start talking about yourself being higher up the ladder.
Well, I mean, Phil, I don't want to, but if you want to keep focusing on John the Baptist, you know, I think that...
And then the whole thing with your church and the sex, I don't even want to go into that. But if that's the case, I can't even believe that you... I don't believe that some father somewhere, you know, hasn't beat you up.
I'm not saying that hasn't happened.
Yeah. Are you telling me you've actually been beaten up?
I was stomped.
You were stomped?
I was stomped, yeah. I was stomped by a couple of fathers and two friends of theirs when I was coming out of our Holy Thursday service. That's where we anoint our patron of the week, or we anoint our disciple of the week. And I was coming out of our Holy Thursday service, and I was on my way over to our prayer line, which is in another building. And these four gentlemen came up. They were on motorcycles. So you can well imagine they were part of a motorcycle gang.
What was the name of the club? It wasn't the Hell's Angels.
No, it was the it was a well-known club called the Scum. I think it's called the Scum of the Earth.
The Scum of the Earth. I've never heard of them.
Well, Phil, that doesn't mean they don't exist.
Okay.
So these four men got off their motorcycles. One of them said, "He's the father of so and so." Well, I didn't know what he was talking about. I never heard of her. He said, well, she'd gone out and had sex with five different men one night, telling them that they're all now members of David Castorini Church. And I said to the man, probably was the wrong way, I was very tired, I said, it's possible.
Well, boy, that's the wrong answer.
Well, I know that now. And that's when I felt one of them grab the back of my head, grab the hair, and just started repeatedly bouncing my face off the hood of a car. It must have been 7, 8, 9 times. He was just bouncing my face. Someone else grabbed me by the belt. And they picked me up, and they opened up one of these steel doors. It was the service center to our where we have our heating and plumbing equipment. And they opened this door up with my head, basically.
They used you as a battering ram?
Yes. Are you laughing, Phil?
A little bit, yeah.
So you find that funny?
Yeah, I do. I do find it funny.
Well, I can tell you, Phil, that I woke up the next morning, I had my head. So you think that's funny, huh?
Yeah, I do think it's funny if you are telling me that you're sending people out having sex with prospective members of your church. So they bounced your face off a hood of a car and they opened a door with your head. So what?
Well, it didn't end there. Okay, then I was ridden outside of town. They took me about 2 miles. I don't remember any of this. they put me on the bike and had me put my arms around the guy like I was some chick, which was very humiliating. They rode me outside of town, past the city limits, so we'd be out in county, that's unincorporated area, so only the sheriff would have jurisdiction, and the sheriff around here is as lazy as hell, and I don't think that guy, I don't think he'd get out of bed to, he wouldn't get out of bed to scratch one of his you-know-whats. But anyway, they drove me outside of town, and they brought me to the edge of a cliff. There's a canyon out there called Rumford Canyon, and stood me up, and they said, how do you like, I'll never forget, they said, how do you like the view? I said, I like it fine, and they pushed me down about 50 feet of cliff. And,
Well, you're still here.
Yes, I am still here, Phil, and the reason why I'm still here is by the grace of God Almighty.
Were you in the hospital?
Okay, you know, I can see that this is not happening.
See, what I'm saying to you here, Reverend, is your injuries were bad, but you weren't hospitalized. You got your ass kicked.
I got stomped.
Well, that's right, and that's what I expected would happen with you treating your female parishioners and disciples the way that you do.
How do I treat them?
Sending them out on prayer counseling jobs, and oh yeah, have sex with a guy if that'll get him into the church. What are you, Charles Manson? 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. How do you
Truth
like the view?
He's our bitch.
That's
Phil Hendry Show.
And then just sort of pushed you?
Just with one finger, just went...
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Pastor David Castorini on the line with us as we discuss personalities from the Bible, their relative importance, and the pastor's church. And it seems to me, and even listening to Pastor Renick, the two of you believe that the modern day saver of souls, the modern day preacher of the gospel, is more important than these original personalities from the Bible, the New Testament or Old Testament, like John the Baptist. That's the first thing that I'm hearing here.
I don't think that's entirely true, Phil.
Well, you've essentially said as much. The second thing is the idea that your church recruits...
We don't recruit anybody, Phil. We look to people who are turned to God's Word.
Okay, but you use sex. You use young women. You use young men to entice people into your church, even to the point where you ran afoul of a father who happened to be the member of a motorcycle club, that you say him and three friends stomped you. That's the word you used.
That is the technical term that's used by motorcycle clubs. So I got stomped. I mean, if you want to use something stronger, I got my ass kicked. Okay, I'll say that. But I had they used my head to open a steel door that enters on. It was an industrial steel door. They bounced my face off of the hood of a Jeep about 8-9 times and then took me outside of town. And by that point, I was stunned. I didn't give up much resistance. And for all I know, they passed me around a campfire while they drank wine and smoked those big fat, those big cigar joints.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about now. What do you mean passed around a campfire?
Well, I don't know. All I remember is being stood up on the edge of the cliff and asked how I liked the view. And then I was sent sailing down about 50 to 75 foot of cliffside. Now, all of this is very much a part of the record.
Well, yeah, and you said that you were hospitalized or no?
No, I wasn't, but...
And I think that this is what happens when you run afoul of a father.
Oh, really? So, in other words, I get stomped by a motorcycle gang.
You said a club... Well, this group that you're talking about, you said they're called the Scum of the Earth?
No, I found the name of them, Phil. I looked it up in my diary. The Shadow of Death, or the Shadows of Death, is the name of it.
Well, what's this name, the Scum of the Earth?
That was a figure of speech.
I asked you what the name of the club was. You said Scum of the Earth.
I said they were the Scum of the Earth.
No, no, no. Now, what are they called?
It's called the Shadow of Doom.
The Shadow of Doom.
The Shadows.
The Shadows of Doom. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call. We got a couple of calls hanging on here. Here is Ralph, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Castorini.
Yes, sir. First of all, God said, be in the world, not of the world. And these two hypocrites are trying to be of the world. Where do they get off getting accolades? I haven't known anything or have heard of anything that anyone have done as far as leading people to Christ through sex. That's a sin. That's a sin.
How do you know if you lead them to Christ, though? Is that a sin?
No. When you get through talking,
yeah.
When you, God said you don't have sex before matrimony. So if you are sending young girls out to bring souls in through sex, that's a sin.
But sir, don't you understand that I went through my Calvary? I went through my scourge. I had those four bikers.
That ain't got nothing to do with you bringing
me down a hill.
That's nothing to do with it. You just basically got beat up because of an angry father.
That was my scourge.
That wasn't any scourge.
What do you call it? What do you call it when four motorcycle riders?
Well, you know what?
You know,
I did the same thing to you if you did that to my daughter, if not worse. And it's ungodly. It's ungodly to say that, but you put my daughter You put my daughter into a situation to whereas if she don't come back with some souls, then she didn't do a good job. So God came.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm agreeing with you, Ralph. This is Phil. I'm agreeing with you. And the fact is, you're saying to her, come back with souls, even if it means sex.
I don't, I can't feature either one of you guys. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about bringing souls to Jesus. And, all right.
So she brought souls to Jesus through sex. Her father finds you, beats you up, and you just think you're Jesus on the cross.
That's why I said I'm better than John the Baptist. That's the part that you don't get, and you never will get, and that's the part that stings. It stings the way a certain part of my body stung the morning after. That's why I said I thought I'd been passed around a campfire. And
okay, thank you very much, Pastor Castorini, for being on the show.
Well, I have a few more things I want to say.
Well, no. From the beautiful shores of the El Pacifico, indeed, here. And if you were watching us on Phil TV and HD, you would see behind me the beautiful surf of the El Pacifico. And, of course, we do videocast Phil TV in HD each and every broadcast night, every live show that we're on the air. It starts around roughly 9:15 Pacific, 12:15 Eastern time, Eastern Daylight Time. And we roll throughout our pre-show all the way on through the radio show. And it's kind of just another way of enjoying the show. Get a backstage pass, and you also have access to the archives that we have, thousands of hours, over 10 years' worth of archives, as well as extra goodies like video casts and animated projects and television projects and TV interviews and all kinds of squirrely stuff there at philhendryshow.com. Also our news feed, also our comment section, which is open only to our BSPs. And we also have asked our backstage pass people to put together a best of Ted Bell download. And that will be made available shortly, before the end of the month. And it'll be available in our shop, the best of Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills, and his great moments on our show, as selected by our BSPs. All right, so it's all a good thing. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman with me here on the show, here in our News and Information Hour. And this is generally where we go through whatever news we might have missed. I'm not really a, well, I'm a consumer of the news, but not a fan of the news. It depends, you know. It depends.
Well, what's it depend on?
Depends on what kind of news it is. You know, if you guys are giving me more stuff about Romney and Obama and the Republicans and the Democrats, then I just as soon blow my brains out of my head, okay? I had a very interesting conversation today with a dear friend of mine who is a longtime radio veteran. And, you know, we were talking about the business. And I said, well, you know, there's two areas now in radio. There is music and there's spoken word. We don't even call it talk radio anymore, folks. It's called spoken word. I don't know why they call it spoken word, because really it's basically talk radio. But there's also podcasts, and there's a lot of different things. I was kind of talking with her about what she can get involved in. It's a very entrepreneurial environment where you can do podcasts, you can do an online show, you can do an over-the-air show, you can, you know. And I was talking about talk radio per se, and I said, you know, there's more to it than just talking about Romney and Obama. And I said, as soon as the stranglehold that the political talkers have had on talk radio, as soon as that is broken, then we're going to actually hear radio again. But right now, it's, you know, what it's all been given over to is political talk and conservative talk and some liberal talk. And you just seriously, you know, I would rather kill myself than do that kind of radio. I don't know what people think about what I do, and I don't care. You know, what I do is what I do. But I would blow my brains out of my skull if I had to do that garbage at all. So I said to her, my friend, I said, you might as well kill yourself now, because she didn't like it either.
Didn't you really?
No, I'm kidding. Maybe she'll come to work for us. Who knows? North Carolina zoo elephant may get contact lenses. Are you kidding me?
No, dude, you're reading the story. It's pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting? Where are my glasses? Speaking of contact lenses, where are my glasses? Officials at the North Carolina Zoo in Asheboro and the North Carolina State University College of Veterinary Medicine are considering giving an elephant at the zoo contact lenses after he had a second cataract surgery in 6 months earlier in June and bowled an under 100 game. Anyway, the 38-year-old African elephant by the name of Caesar weighs 12,000 pounds and has been at the zoo since 1978.
Well, how much you think the contact lens weighs?
What?
How much you think the contact lens weighs?
Well, you get over to the microphone, will you, Robert?
Yeah, you're yelling everything.
I said, how much you think the contact lens? A contact lens weighs.
The contact lens would weigh? I don't know. How much does a human contact lens weigh?
Probably about a half an ounce.
Okay, so a human being weighs, let's say, average man, 200 pounds. A half an ounce. So what's 12,000 pounds times a half an ounce, and that's what it is?
That's like what, a one-ton contact lens?
No, I don't think it's a one-ton contact lens. You guys are asking me the stupid question. I don't know.
Probably about like a 500-pound contact lens.
A 500-pound contact lens. There's not a chance. Not even an elephant, as big as he is going to put a 500-pound contact lens in his eyeball. Anyway, now officials are considering whether contact lenses would help Caesar's vision even more. Zookeepers say Caesar has become lethargic because he couldn't see well, and officials are worried that they might have to euthanize him. Oh, isn't that too bad? You got an animal in an unnatural setting, a zoo. That's right. It's time for Phil Talks About Zoos. You have an African bull elephant, that should be in the wild, should have been in the wild. I don't know where this animal was born. He's been at the zoo since 1978, which basically means, no, he wasn't born at the zoo, because they would have said he was. They've beaten this thing into submission. It's now a nice, docile animal, and he's lethargic because he can't see well, and they might have to euthanize him. Well, isn't that a fantastic thing? So the human beings pick this animal out of the wild. The thing goes blind. Well, now it's time to put him down because he can't see and he's lethargic. And I guess he's not entertaining and, you know, making it happen for the people to come and look at him. I can't stand zoos, man. They all ought to be shut down. All of them.
Thought you said you wasn't no animal rights person.
I'm not into animal rights the way PETA is, okay? I'm not about, oh, my God, you know, they're more important than humans, all right? I'm not into that. I don't know and I don't want to know. And I do want to know, but I don't make it a public thing, okay? I'm not talking about the chicken at Colonel Sanders. I ain't talking about none of that stuff. It's probably bad. I don't know, you know. But my whole public thing is this. Zoos, man. Zoos suck.
What about that one guy, Jack the zoo guy?
Jack the zoo guy? Who's that?
You know that guy on the Columbus Zoo?
Jack Hanna? Is that his name?
Yeah.
What about him?
But he seemed like he cared about animals.
He says, no, he doesn't care about animals. No, I don't believe Jack Hanna cares about animals at all. I think he probably thinks he does. Right after that lion or the, what the hell was it, a tiger? After that tiger attacked that guy in San Francisco, he's all, oh, you know, this is very rare, and I really don't want zoos to take. He was all, like, protecting the image of zoos. What do I give a damn? What do you mean protecting the image of zoos? You know, zoos are safe, and this was really very rare. Well, what are you talking about, man? You want to make sure that these zoos keep going, huh? Why? What's the big thing with zoos?
Well, they teach kids.
Oh, they don't teach kids a thing. Teach kids nothing. You want to teach a kid about an animal? I got a great, here's a newsflash for you. Give him a book. He can read about the animal. And then someday you can cart his ass down to Africa. He can look at that animal. Or he can cart his own ass down there. Or maybe, just maybe, there's a setting where these creatures can be left alone and they're not the object of the scrutiny of a pack of moron humans. Maybe there's something like that. I don't know. I've never heard of it.
But they had Lion Country Safari.
That was a big freaking disaster, man, that Lion Country Safari. And that what the hell was the one up here, man, up in Thousand Oaks?
Jungle Land.
Years ago, folks, when I was a kid here in California, in the L.A. area, there's a suburb in the northwestern environs of Los Angeles called Thousand Oaks. It's a number of miles outside of L.A., but it's one of those outer ring suburbs. In any event, it's a very nice city, and it's a continually voted as one of the safest and one of the nicest in America and this and that, and that's great. But they had a thing called Jungle Land. I don't know where the hell it was.
But it was out there, you know, near all those oak trees and stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of area beyond Thousand Oaks. There's a lot of very beautiful areas that, with lots of oak trees. There's no homes. It's unsettled, and it's rather untouched. There's, you know, mountains and rocks and stuff. So I think they had a jungle land somewhere in this area. And sure enough, a freaking lion got loose, man.
What a dude.
It just got loose, man. It was one of these animals that lived in jungle land, and the damn thing got loose. It got into the neighborhoods. It was walking down the street, you know. And
Did it eat nobody?
I don't know, man. I got to look the story up. I don't know if it attacked anybody. I don't think it ended well for the lion. I mean, how could it, you know? But I just think that every time we take a creature, and there's no reason to have an animal in captivity if there's only one reason. That's for the amusement of dumbass humans. That's it.
But I think you're being cruel about calling them dumbass.
No, I'm not being cruel. No, I am not. Human beings need to get with it, man. Am I Mr. Animal Rights? Am I running around here saying animal rights this, animal rights that? I believe in drilling offshore, man. I've always said so. But the one thing I will not abide are these zoos and this garbage, this SeaWorld. You know, you want to get a laugh. I'll tell you right now. You want to see somebody get really uncomfortable? Go down to the Aquarium of the Pacific, which I think is a phenomenal place. Now, that place I support. And they have a marine mammal rescue there. They've got sharks there. They take care. This is a place where they rehabilitate animals, and they do it in a setting where, you know, they train the animals. They give them exercise. They don't do a show, but humans can go and watch as they exercise the animals, as they feed the animals, and as they rehabilitate them. This is not a show. This is not some freaking, a ball going off the nose of a sea lion. It's these animals are being rehabilitated. Anyway, make a long story short, talk to one of those people down there. These are really good people. The kids that volunteer, they say kids. These are all people with their degrees in, oceanography and marine biology. And some of them have multiple degrees, and they're volunteering or they're interning for the summer working with these animals. Talk to them about SeaWorld. You want to see an uncomfortable silence. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk out of school. What do you think of SeaWorld? Oh, tell me, go ahead. Well, you know, I like it. You know, the whale, the thing, yeah. You can't have any appreciation or love for any of those animals and say anything good about SeaWorld. And I'm going to say it again. You can't have any love or appreciation for those beautiful creatures, those whales, and say anything good about SeaWorld, okay? You want me to say it again? I can say it as many times as I want. I'm going on the record here, you know.
Well, I mean, being kind of rude about it.
What do you mean I'm being rude about it? I want to be very clear in case there's any doubt. This is not often that I do this. When have you heard me go and rip? But I'm telling you, I wouldn't go to SeaWorld, man, any more than I would want to go and see how Auschwitz was run with real people, okay?
Oh, come on, man. You can't say that.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And to have those animals, those whales, jumping through the hoops and doing all that stuff, yeah, that's right. That's what whales do in the wild, man. They sit in a tank and bob up and down for about 10 hours a day. And then they go out and they play with a human and a ball, and then they go back and bob up and down in a tank. You can keep it, man. I'm sorry. All right. So much for the elephant getting a cataract. Or contact, or glasses. You know what? I would endorse zoos if they would put a giant pair of glasses on this elephant. That I'd like to see. All right. Of course, I'm joking, but sort of. We'll be right back here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. More news in our News and Information Hour, including obesity putting pressure on the Earth's resources. That's right. If you're fat, you are a danger to the world's food supply. I'm dead serious. That's what they say here, and we'll talk about it when we come back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth God. Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, that means Robert's in danger.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You have time, man.
I am tired. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com and watch our live streaming video of our show right now on Phil TV and HD. I am tired because I got up this morning and I went to the doctors. I had to do a couple of tests. Nothing serious, nothing bad. It was all very normal and very routine. And I'm very happy to report when the doc saw me, he said, "Geez, Henry, you are definitely born again hard."
What does that mean?
Don't worry about it. It's a military term. He said, "Look, I've lost all that weight," because he hadn't seen me.
Oh, yeah, I've seen you since you were like 300 pounds?
He hadn't seen me since I was 291. That's the last time they weighed me. I was 291, and I'm down to 245 now, and it blew him away, man. He was like, "Man, you know what? Where'd half of you go, dude?" So that was kind of cool because he said to me, "I didn't think you were going to be able to do it." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I just didn't think you were going to do it." You know, I mean, because I've been going to this guy for years, and my weight just ballooned up when I quit smoking. And it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. I was just too heavy. And anyway, long story short, dropped the weight, went down to the doc today, and he was happy to see that. So and now I'm on a, he gave me something for sleep, okay?
Yeah, you need to have that.
Right. This is a sleep thing, and I can't remember the name of it, but there is also an organic or an herbal, I should say, an herb version of it, too, because my sleep is all jacked up, man. I work until 1, but that means I don't get to bed till 4 or 5, you know, Pacific time, sometimes later, and, you know, forget it. All right, let's move past my problems and my achievements and my, you know, my ascending the heights and my victories and my defeats and me. Well, in fact, let's keep talking about me.
No.
All right. Actually, here, obesity, well, we were just talking about the obese Phil. Obesity puts pressure on Earth's resources, so says a study. Yeah, uh-huh. Here is one more reason why obesity and overweight need to be tackled on a war footing. Obesity and overweight. This is in some magazine or newspaper where they don't know how to talk gooder. Here's one more reason why obesity and overweight need to be tackled on a war footing. Oh, okay. They put undue pressure on Earth's dwindling resources, say researchers from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Whatever.
What's that?
Who knows? Earth's dwindling resources. When did we decide that, by the way, maybe we're running out of oil, I don't know, but when did we decide that Earth's resources are dwindling? Maybe oil is dwindling. You know, what other resources are dwindling?
Swimming pools.
Yeah, we don't have enough swimming pools. Anyway, this is because people's weight, and not just the population size, determines the energy requirements of the human race. Using data from the United Nations and World Health Organization, the researchers decided to spin it and twist it in their favor, and they came up... No, I'm kidding. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that, bud. Don't. The researchers, led by Professor Ian Roberts, computed a table of the heaviest and lightest nations on Earth. And because an advertisement pop-up was right in the middle of the screen when I printed this off, I can't see all of the rationale that they used or the methodology that they used in computing this. However, I'm sure it's really solid. Here are the 10 heaviest nations on Earth. In other words, the countries that contain per capita more fat asses than the world has ever known. Who do you think the number one country is?
Canada.
Really? A little bit south.
Mexico.
A little bit north.
Canada.
Yeah, well, you come on, man. The United States.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. We got more tubs of guts in this country than we know what to do with. Kuwait is second.
What?
Yeah, Kuwait. That's, again, per capita. And Kuwait's a very wealthy country. Now, here's one that kind of blows me away, Croatia. Now, that's not what I would call a wealthy country. I mean, I don't know much about Croatia, to be honest with you, except that they used to be Nazis. I'm kidding. Croatia is the third fattest country.
Maybe it's the pastries.
What? What do you mean pastries?
Don't they eat a lot of them there?
Well, they may like pastries in Croatia. I just didn't think that it doesn't come to mind as a country that is... Has enough of anything to have fat people, and I could be wrong. So Croatia leapt ahead of, because all the other countries, well, the first six, five of the top six, four of the top six, are Middle Eastern countries. Okay. Now, this may educate us a little bit. What does it mean to have a country of fat people? Does it necessarily mean that you are a prosperous nation? Does it mean instead that you've got a lot of nervous eaters? You know, I mean, do you think Croatia is one of the top producing countries in the world in terms of GDP? I don't know.
What's GDP?
Gross domestic product, okay? Just don't ask me any questions, bud. The United States, number one, Kuwait, number two, Croatia, number three, Gutter, number four.
Gutter?
Q-A-T-A-R. You know, one of these days you guys are going to get educated on what's going on in the world, and I won't have to explain every little thing.
I didn't ask. I knew about it.
You did?
No, you didn't. You didn't know, man. You just didn't ask.
All right. Well, it's called Qatar or Gutter. Number five, Egypt. Number six, United Arab Emirates. So there you have, of the top six, four, Middle Eastern. And Egypt is not what I would call a prosperous country. So maybe it's just people turn to food when they're in stress or in stressful situations. And
Well, America's rich.
America has both. We've got prosperity and lots of nervous eaters. We got to take a break. All right, we'll be right back. Number seven is Trinidad and Tobago. Number eight is Argentina. Number nine, Greece, and number 10, Bahrain. I'll come back with the lightest 10 nations, the skinniest people. And I'm sure these are countries with physically fit people. They do a lot of chin-ups. They do a lot of working out. Or maybe they're just all starving to death.
Maybe it's a combination.
Exactly. Like the opposite of America. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. Download the free Phil Hendry podcast if you haven't already. We do two a week, and go to the homepage, philhendryshow.com, and you'll see the banner that says Phil Hendry Radio and the new podcast. Just click on that, and it'll take you to the appropriate link to download our podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast. It's some cool stuff from our archives, and it's very popular stuff. People are digging it. People are loving it, and it's free. If you don't want to get a BSP right away. But I would suggest you get the BSP right away. That means you have access to all of that cool stuff. All right. Now, where we left off Where were we, bud?
Yeah, you had the 10 countries that are the fattest, not as the skinniest.
Yeah, we had the fattest 10. This is all as a result, folks, of a survey or some research done by a group of people at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. You might as well tell me that it's the London School of Hairdressing, you know.
Why? Why'd you say that?
I never heard it. What do you mean, the London School of Tropical Medicine? In any event, I'm not saying they're full of crap, but... So the 10 heaviest countries, the United States, Kuwait, and the reason why we were marveling over the 10 heaviest countries is it was a mix of... countries that you would think of as wealthy and therefore, you know, plentiful in terms of food, and also countries that you would think of as poorer and therefore maybe the caloric intake is high because they just, when you oftentimes find poor countries, the people just are into putting a lot of calories into their system. They just want to make sure that they've got lots and lots of calories, and it's not the healthiest. We've got Croatia. We've got Egypt. We have Trinidad and Tobago. And then countries that sort of fall in the mid-range in terms of what I would call, you know, economically prosperous countries. I mean, Greece is going through their problems right now. Argentina, the United States, Kuwait, Qatar, United Arab Emirates. I would say those are countries that one would imagine are economically at, you know, on good days, very, very sound. And the living standard of their people relatively stable. And so, obviously, you have that mix of wealth and wealthy nation and poor nation, and it's high in calories, what the people eat. Now you go to the lightest 10 countries, and you see kind of the same thing. Although I'm hard-pressed to find what I would call a, you know, prosperous nation on this list. There are 10 countries on this list, and a lot of these you'd say, well, yeah, those people must be starving to death because it's not a very rich country. It's an impoverished country. But then there's countries that are sort of on the rise. Like on this list is Vietnam. Vietnam economically is not in the dumps. It's a growing economy. But they've got a pretty healthy diet, to be honest. I mean, what is it, seafood?
What are you talking about, Vietnam?
Yeah.
Yeah, rice and probably chop suey or not chop suey. What about you, like chow mein?
Chow mein? Are you guys nuts or something? It's Vietnamese food. It's not Chinese.
I don't know.
Anyway, North Korea leads the list of the lightest 10 nations. Well, how about that for a news flash? North Korea, man, those people there, they're eating dirt. Then you've got Cambodia, which I don't know anything about Cambodia, but it just doesn't strike me as a country where they're rock and roll. You know, Burundi, Nepal, the Himalayan nation of Nepal, the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
They're all countries, man, these people must be poor.
It sounds like a lot of poor countries, but again, I got to get better educated on countries like Nepal. I'm sure Nepal has a high poverty rate, though. Bangladesh.
That's where they did a concert for Bangladesh a long time ago you're talking about.
Right. I mean, that's a long time ago, but maybe they're still, you know, running around trying to find something to eat. Sri Lanka. Ethiopia. I mean, these are all countries that you think of like starvation.
Maybe they're weighing the people because they're still skinny.
The what?
What are you talking about? I mean, they're weighing the people. The people still skinny from the last time they was poor.
They're weighing the people and they're still skinny from the last time they were poor.
Yeah, now they're eating better.
Oh, well, you get out of here.
I don't know.
Weighing them. Anyway, number 9, Vietnam. And number 10, Eritrea, which is a small African country that was beset by all kinds of horrid civil strife and civil war, and probably is still paying dues for that. I don't think there's any confusion here. These are all really either poor or borderline poor countries where people just don't have enough to eat, you know?
So that means that there's no country on that list because they work out.
No, there's no country on this list where they work out.
Well, what about, like, Sri Lanka?
Why do you think they work out in Sri Lanka?
It's an island country, and you do a lot of kayaking?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Sri Lanka's an island country, so there's a lot of kayaking. You guys are looking at this from the eyes of Americans. These are countries, what do you mean kayaking, man? These cats are looking for something to eat, man. You know? They're looking for something to eat. They're, a lot of these countries barely have arable lands. They don't have lands that will support crops, or they don't have lands where they can graze cattle, domesticated animals that are a food source. I mean, they're all jacked up, man. North Korea, they just got a bunch of dumbasses running their country. Cambodia, probably the same reason. Burundi, who knows? Nepal, too high up in the air. Congo, it's weird. Bangladesh, George Harrison. Sri Lanka, who knows, kayaking. Ethiopia, starving to death. Vietnam, Vietnam War, too much Agent Orange. And Eritrea, it's a weird-sounding country. So there you have it.
That ain't no reason why the people are skinny.
No, but I thought I'd run through it the way you guys would. Researchers estimate the weight of the adult human population of these countries... Oh, no, wait, excuse me. Researchers estimate the weight of the adult human population was 287 million tons in 2005, out of which 15 million tons was due to being overweight and 3.5 million tons due to obesity. Did you get that one, you guys? What they're saying is the human population weighs 287 million tons as of 2005. Of that 287 million tons... 3.5 million tons is due to just flat obesity, just fat ass, okay? And
well, what about 15 million?
Oh, I was going to say, the 15 million tons is due to being overweight, but the 3.5 million, obesity.
Yeah, think about it. You just lightened up the load of the human race.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I did. I lightened the load of the human race, man. You know? But I'm still working on it.
Yeah, you lost like 50 pounds. The human race is 3.5 million times minus 50. Well, it's probably not that big of a deal.
Yeah, don't count it that way, bud. You'll get frustrated. Nobody's sitting out there going, hey, Phil Henry lost 50 pounds, so hey, you know, good for us. You know, I'm doing my fair share. I ain't as much, you know, whatever.
What do you think you cut back on more than anything else?
Of the food that I eat?
Yeah.
Meat. I don't eat any red meat, and it's not because I don't like red meat. God knows I love steaks, but man, it's you eat a steak, Jack, that burns up. If I'm on a 2,000-calorie-a-day diet, forget it. I can't eat any steaks, you know.
You say you're eating turkey bacon.
That turkey bacon's pretty good. Now, here's the thing I found. I found that extra lean turkey bacon. It's like 20 calories a slice. That stuff's out of sight, man. So I eat that.
Yeah, you had like, what do you have, like 3 sandwiches a night or something?
Yeah, I eat that turkey bacon. It's good, and I eat it with that Nature's Own bread. But see, you got to hunt up all these low-cal. You got to look for these low-calorie foods, man. That's the only meat that I eat now. And so I'd say I gave up meat, and of course, forget it, man. There ain't no donuts, pastries, candy bars, nothing like that.
Not even like the Reese's cup.
Not the Reese's cup. No way, man. First and foremost, no Reese's cups. So none of that. All the rice, all the potatoes, forget it, man. It ain't happening. None of that.
No, you're eating bread.
I eat bread because I eat this 50-calorie sliced bread, you know, but I'm not even fooling around with rice. Because the whole idea is, can I get a lot to eat in as few calories as possible? That's the whole goal, man. I mean, I want to fill myself up, and I don't want to do it like, I want to fill myself up, and I'm not going to do that if I have a steak. What's going to happen to me for the rest of the day? And what happens is when you want to fill yourself up and you go for foods that are lower in calories, but there's more of an abundance of that, like salad, for instance, man, I can eat a whole damn bag of romaine lettuce. It's only 165 calories. So that's good, you know, and you wind up eating naturally healthier food. You know, I eat like bananas, man, and it just so happens a banana is a pretty good fruit to eat because it's low in sugar as opposed to apples and stuff like that.
But sugar, what's that, fat?
Sugar turns into fat in your body. Yeah, it turns into calories anyway. And if you have a fruit that's high in natural sugar, even if it's natural sugar, like an apple, like an orange, like a peach, That's a high calorie fruit.
But what was that one you said, like 1 calorie each?
Blueberries are 1 calorie each.
What about strawberries?
Strawberries are 6 calories each. So strawberries are fantastic. You can eat a whole box of strawberries, man. You've only burned up maybe, you know, 100 calories. You can eat freaking blueberries, 1 calorie each. The only problem with blueberries, they're so damn good, and I mean they are good. You can sit down with blueberries and say, hell, these are only one calorie each. The next thing you know, you've eaten 500 of them.
Man, yeah, are you kidding me, man? You had a 500 blueberry?
I ate 500 blueberries at one sitting one time. It's like I did with those rice cakes. Rice cakes are 50 calories each. There's like seven of them or something. Before I even knew it, I'd eaten like 500 calories worth of rice cakes, so I got rid of those. I mean, I don't eat those as much, you know?
You eat a lot of popcorn.
Yeah, I eat a lot of popcorn. Hell yeah. In other words, it's whatever's going to fill you up and not use up a lot of calories. So I don't eat any meat anymore, and I don't eat a lot of those fruits. I mean, I do eat fruit, but I don't eat the stuff that's high in calories. Okay, so there you go. I just gave you the rundown, guys, on how I lost 50-plus pounds, and I'm still losing it. My goal weight is like 210.
Man, you know, I don't know, man. You got to watch out about that.
I got the doc is watching me, man.
Yeah, Dr. Emery's watching out for him. He don't need you. Why don't you shut up, man? I'm just talking to myself.
All right, hold on, will you? Thank you, Robert, for your concern. Dr. Emery is looking out for me. Yeah, and I've got, at 245, I got 35 more pounds to go, man.
That you've already lost more than that.
I have. I've lost 50 pounds. Yeah, I've lost 50 pounds. All right. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show to close up here in this this particular show, y'all. And don't forget to join us online at philhendryshow.com and download the hell out of that new Episode 9 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast, Episode 10 coming up on Thursday.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Tell him that, I'm telling him. Yeah, he already is a doctor.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Turn that fan off, you guys.
It's hot in here.
I know it's hot in here. That's just the way it is, man. When you have all this equipment, it is hot in the old studio. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, came out and said the following. He said that Mitt Romney would be better at running the country than President Barack Obama, but cannot support him because of his stances on guns and abortion rights. The New York Times reported him as telling dinner guests. Michael Bloomberg made the comments at a charity event, the Times reported, after a guest at the dinner asked him for his feelings about the two candidates. What does it mean to stand on guns? What are you, Bloomberg? What are you anyway, man? That guy bugs me. You bother me, Mr. Mayor. Let me tell you why, okay? You're the mayor of New York. Why don't you take care of New York? You're big fat mouth on the national scene. That's great. And I understand that the mayor of New York, as is the mayor of, say, Los Angeles, as is possibly the mayor of Chicago and places like that, you know, they have a little bit of a national standing. Not much. You're the mayor of New York, and ordinarily, you know, the country does notice the mayors of New York. I mean, I can remember, I probably know the mayors of New York better than I know the mayors of L.A. Mayor Lindsay, Mayor Koch, Mayor Dinkins. I mean, New York has had the sublime, and they've had the ridiculous. Mayor Giuliani, Mayor Bloomberg. And I know that the media will pay attention to the mayors of these different... who was the guy that went had to go to New York? He had to go to Washington. He was the mayor of New York back in the late 1970s. And this poor man had to go to Washington and ask for a loan because New York was broke. But I got to tell you, I'm not really all that interested in Michael Bloomberg's take on the national scene at all. You don't impress me at all, man. Why don't you get it together with New York? Go ahead and get rid of all the big sodas. Make all your big genius moves there, and then we'll see whether anybody cares whether you know whether you run for president or whether you're the national dog catcher. Because I don't think anybody's going to care. Because you are about as I don't know where you're coming from, man. I think you just open your yap and say anything that sounds good. That's Bloomberg. Well, I don't agree with Romney. He'd be a better president, but now here's the thing. Maybe he's just as whack as I am in terms of my politics. I am in favor of abortion rights for women. I'm also a strong advocate of gun ownership and that the, you know, Constitution be supported in that area. So that probably makes me kind of a freak, too. I guess that's why they call us independents. I just ain't taking the usual stands that some of these other guys. You know, I'm strong on gun rights. I'm strong on abortion rights and gay rights. You know, I'm really strong and big on national defense. I'm not, you know, in love with the so-called, shall we say, the social program federal government approach, unless it's really necessary, and then I'm down with that thing. I mean, you know, it's like everything else. How do you define necessary?
But think about national health care.
Let me tell you about national health care, okay? You can say whatever you want about national health care. You can call it commie. Say whatever you want to say. But one thing you cannot deny, you cannot deny it if you got past the first grade. Paying for health care in this country is, it's busting us wide open. It is expensive, and it's getting more expensive with every passing day. It's trillions of dollars, and tort reform, if you are trying to sell that one to me, just move on down the highway and talk to some dumbass, okay, pal? Because I saw you coming. You and that these people with the tort reform, get a freaking grip, okay? I don't know whether you think you're talking to complete idiots or what the story is, or whether it's smoke and mirrors, or whether you guys think you can really sell that, hey, you know, a little tort reform. A tort reform, man, would reform health care the way peeing into a river is somehow going to change the overall quality of a glass at the other end, man, in the faucet. It just isn't going to happen, man. It just doesn't make that much of a difference. So, you know.
Well, that sounds like you want it.
I'm not going to say anything beyond that. The rest of that's my business. I'm not going to sit here and talk about health care and whether I endorse it or not. You know, I'm going to leave that to my audience. If they're bright enough, they'll figure it out. If they're not, well, good luck to them. I will tell you this, though. If you guys are being sold a bill of goods, if you think that tort reform thing, that's the biggest load of crap that's ever come out of the jungle, man, since the guy with the bone in his nose who said he could wave the magic wand over you and turn your head into an apple.
Who was that?
Ramar the Jungle.
It's not a show.
Right. It ain't gonna happen, man. And it isn't going to happen that all of a sudden, you know, the cost of medicine and all of this other horse dung, you know, people just delude themselves because they have a certain political ideology. Well, I'm a conservative. That means that even if I got to lie to myself, well, I'm a liberal. I'll give you one. My dear, sweet, marvelous friends in the liberal end of things are always love to say,
yeah, was there any weapons of mass destruction?
Let me explain how life works. A president, right after a city has had 3,000 of its citizens incinerated and two huge buildings falling to the ground as a result of a terrorist act, a president doesn't take chances. A president looks at the possibility of a threat coming from any particular area of a region of the world, and he has to act in his own mind. This is what George Bush was doing. You can call him a liar. You can call him Hitler. You can act like a child and call people names, but you got to grow up and face the facts. The facts are that president took a look at whatever that intelligence told him, and he said, you know what? I ain't buying it. I'm going to go in, and we're going to find out ourselves whether this guy's got weapons of mass destruction. I don't give a damn. If they're not there, then they're not there. I ain't buying it, and I don't have, and I'm not going to play it fast and loose with the safety of the American people. I'm not going to sit here and, well, you know, the CIA told me, only to find out in a year or two that Saddam Hussein has some kind of a dirty bomb, and now we got problem number two. I'm not going to do that. That is what was in George Bush's mind. Now, I know there's all kinds of people that are way smarter, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, as we hear the battle hymn of the Republic, that is what was in his mind.
Way to go, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry, and we invite you to join us online at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass and enjoy all the things that we have to offer you at philhendryshow.com. The backstage pass affords you the live streaming video of our show, as well as, of course, all of the archives that are online going back many, many years. Please also download our podcast. Just hit the podcast banner and make that podcast a regular part of your Phil Henry Show listening. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.